It's inside each one of us, wanting the best for every person and the will to put that vision into practice.
We've set aside some time in our worship service this morning to welcome a new child into the world. And at this time, I'd like to invite the Gomez-Smith family to come forward. Yeah, there we go. Okay, just takes a second for it to kick in. Babies fill our hearts with joy. They bring with them the promise of hope for the future. But being born is just the beginning. A baby must also be received. A baby needs the love and support of family and community to become all that he can be. And so today, we make our pledge to love and nurture this young child. For the future of this child and our community alike depends on our devotion to our children. Aloysius, how shall we welcome you into this world? We cannot express how happy we are that you have come. We welcome you into this community and into the family of humankind. In you, there is hope for the future. In you, we all share new life. Maria Elena and Douglas, in presenting your child in the presence of this community, you are asking us to witness the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. You are asking us to walk with you and support you in your dedication to the task of fostering with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of humanity in this child. Mari, your faith is grounded in the Christian tradition, and Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Children are filled with wonder. Aloysius sees and hears and touches and tastes God in the world all around him. Strive to see the world of the Spirit through his eyes. Nurture that sense of wonder in him, and he may grow as Jesus did, in wisdom, in stature, loving God and all living things. And Douglas, you found your center in the Buddha's tradition and the teaching of the Eightfold Path. The Buddha taught that the heart is like a garden. It can grow compassion or fear, resentment or love. We learn how to water the good seeds from our parents. May you teach Aloysius to water the five virtues: truth, compassion, contentment, humility, and love. Continuing to seek balance and the well-being in yourselves and in your relationship with each other and with him. And so now, do you promise that to the best of your abilities, you will nurture this child's mind and spirit? Will you help him become a seeker of his own truth? Will you help him develop a strong sense of who he is while remaining open to the possibilities of life? If so, please say, "We do." Now, grandparents, Barbara and Graham, do you promise to care for Aloysius, to love him with all of your heart and soul? Will you raise him to love justice and live with compassion? Will you teach him to be kind and courageous? And will you encourage Aloysius to live his dreams to the fullest? If so, say we will. Okay, congregation, it's your turn. Will you delight in Aloysius' accomplishments, share in his sorrows, and encourage him in every way as he grows into adulthood? If so, please respond, "We will."
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Marlena and Douglas, will you name your son? to say his name for everyone.
Aloysius Fox Gomez Smith.
Aloysius Fox Gomez Smith. He woke up. He heard his name. And now together, he'll love this part. And now together, let us bless this child with a red rose symbolizing love and water that was gathered by members of this community during our water in-gathering ceremony from all places that inspire all these different people. This water came from all of them. This water is a symbol of life and our connection to all living things. This flower is a symbol of life's unfolding and of love. Aloysius, I touch you in blessing with this flower in this water on your brow, that you may think freely and clearly. On your heart, here's your heart, that you may feel deeply and love deeply. And all over your body, that you may serve the ideals of truth and beauty, and that you may come to realize the fullness of your unique individuality and your divine humanity. I'm going to hand you that. Mm-hmm. Friends, it is with great joy that I present to you another gift to this world, a blessing to all of us and a joy to all who may meet Aloysius Fox Gomez Smith. Let us pray. We give thanks for this new life that has come among us. Each new child brings us new hope for a new beginning. We see the great potential that lies in every human life, and we know this child will bring his unique gifts to humanity if we help him to do so. May we recognize and nurture the unique gifts of this child, and through all the challenges and joys to come, may this child's life be blessed with hope and courage and love. May it be so. Blessed be and amen. And we have a certificate for your family to commemorate this special day. I give that to Grandpa. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Congratulations. I understand that the kids have been working on learning a wonderful song that Amy and they are going to help us to sing. It's called You've Got a Friend in Me, and if you've seen Toy Story at least once or twice, you know this song.
Thank you.
is going to share a story with us this morning.
Julie is going to share with us the version of the Good Samaritan parable, and the kids have been working on this for the past month, and that's why we're using this story today. So thank you, Julie.
The Good Samaritan. In the days when Jesus was alive, people who came from different places often did not get along. People often judged people on their looks. If they looked different, they were treated badly. And people who were rich often thought that they were much better than people who had less. One day, a lawyer came to Jesus and asked, "What should I do to live a good life?" Jesus answered, "What does the law say?" "You should love your neighbor as yourself," the lawyer replied. "That's right," Jesus said. But the lawyer, thinking he could ask Jesus a question that could not be answered, asked, "But who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered him by telling the story. One morning, a Jewish merchant set off from Jerusalem to go to Jericho to sell his goods, although he knew that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was dangerous. He had traveled it many times before and was confident that he would be safe. Suddenly, a group of thieves sprang from behind a bush. The thieves took everything he had, and they beat him up and left him lying half dead by the side of the road. As he lay there in pain and misery, he heard footsteps. "Ah, someone is coming," he thought. "I hope he will help me. I hope it isn't one of the same men who beat me up, coming back to find out if I am dead." He waited and listened for what seemed like hours. Finally, he saw a man on a donkey coming around the bend in the road. The man was a richly dressed priest. When the priest saw the man lying beside the road, he decided to take a different road because he was in a hurry and didn't want to be bothered. The poor merchant was certainly glad that it wasn't one of the robbers, but he'd surely wished somebody would come along and to give him a little bit of help. After a little while, he heard footsteps again. He wanted to call out and get the attention of the person walking by, but he was in so much pain, all he could do was moan. "Maybe this person will see me and help me," he thought anxiously. This time, the man who had passed by was a Levite, a well-known teacher in the temple. Surely he would want to help the poor man. But when he saw the man lying on the side of the road, he looked down, then turned his head, then walked right by, completely ignoring the poor, hurting man. It wasn't long until the man heard another set of footsteps. He wanted to believe that this person would reach down to help him, but he had already been passed by twice and dared not even hope for relief. By this time, he had given up all hope. The man, who wasn't traveling down the road this time, was a stranger from Samaria. "Shall I help him or not?" the traveler muttered as he stood looking down on the helpless man. "He is a Jew, and I am a despised foreigner, a Samaritan. If he were well and I were helpless in this place, would he help me? Jews don't even speak to my people. How they've yelled the name Samaritan at me as if I were poison." But he passed by. He noticed the man who was lying beaten and bloody on the side of the road. He felt sorry for him and wanted to help. He said to himself, "I'm going to do for him what I wish he would do for me, if I am ever as helpless as he is." He got off his donkey and bent down next to the man to get a closer look at the wounds. Gently, he wrapped the bandages around the sores and helped him get to his feet. Then, he carefully put the man on his very own donkey and took him to the nearest hotel. He stayed with the man overnight and took care of him. The next morning, he had to leave, but he knew he couldn't take the man with him. When he paid the bill, he gave the innkeeper extra money, saying, "Take care of him, feed him, and make sure he has everything he needs. If he owes you any money after he gets well and leaves, write it down. I will pay the bill next time I come by." Jesus, after finishing the story, asked the lawyer, "Which of these three men was a neighbor to the stranger on the street?" The lawyer sheepishly answered, "The one who stopped and helped him." And Jesus said, "That's right. Now you go and do the same."
Thanks, Julia. This is the time in our service where you're invited to come forward and light a candle of sorrow, something for which you'd like this congregation support, or a candle of joy, something you'd like to share with all of us to help share in that joy. If you'd like to light a candle, please come forward, tell us your name so we can all get to know one another a little bit better. Try to gather your thoughts and be brief, and boy, I better get down there. Here we go. Can we wait just for 1 second? Can you sit right there next to Nancy? Thank you. Before we have people come up, I would just like to take a minute for us to sit in silence together to honor the lives of the students and teachers that were lost in South Florida this week.
Said it's hard to really see it, and the reason why we living. Don't chase it with your eyes, can recognize it till it's given. The world in front of me became the molding of my vision. The pain that came to me is what I blame in my decisions. How can I find the courage when my heart is feeling missing? How do I find a time when I know that the clock is ticking? I'm a soldier for this love, it's guaranteed to be my mission. Wish I could find it easy like I see it in the children, hey. Looking back as I move forward, Sankofa. I want a love that explodes, call it a supernova. What it takes to reach the heavens, let me stand closer. Put the pieces all together, witness Jehovah. God is patient with a sunny plant, the seed and let it grow. When I love it unconditional, I learn to let it go. Open your arms, what I'm talking about. Without a doubt, I can feel the love reaching out.
Love reaches out. My love reaches out.
Reaches
my
out.
Love,
can you feel it?
Reaches out.
Yeah. I'm never giving up, I'm keeping cool, I'm in control. My praise, I give it up, a higher power's in control. This light is guiding me, I'm armed with everything I know. This love is getting closer, I can feel it in my soul. Long as I am living, I still got the time to show. The patience that was given from the ones that let me grow. Forgive me for debating back and forth, to and fro. This love is reaching out, I'm giving it to you and yours. Walk with me in solidarity. My sanctuary eases my disparity. When I look into your eyes, I'm looking carefully. What do you know? There is me. No more questioning the things that I can never see. Touch, taste, smell, hear, no more mystery. Just the faith that's stronger than my pain and misery. I found it in myself and it will forever be. The breath of love that gave me the breath of life. A breath of lost spirits, give it back and I energize. If I never take another, let my voice come and speak it out. And give you the feeling of love reaching out.
Love reaches out.
Yes, it does.
My love reaches out.
I can feel it, I can feel it, I can feel it. Hey,
love reaches out. My love reaches out.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it now?
My love reaches out.
Oh, yes, it does.
My love reaches out.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Hey,
evolves through patience and honesty. Trust, love, and just let it be. Feel the power of love between you and and me, between you and me, between you and me, through the power of love between you and me.
One of the ways our love reaches out is that we share our offering with an organization in the wider community each Sunday. Today our plate will be shared with the UUA's Side of Love campaign. It was formerly called Standing on the Side of Love, and the name was changed in solidarity with those who are differently abled who can't stand. And so now it's called the Side of Love campaign. As Unitarian Universalists, unconditional love for all people grounds our actions in the world. We strive to be of service and advocate for justice. Through the Side of Love campaign, we support the voices of the oppressed. We show up in partnership at justice events across the country. We lobby national leaders on immigration reform, racial justice, equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people, religious freedom, and more. And above all, we work to make love real in the world. The Side of Love campaign is one important way we extend our helping hands to those in need. Please give generously this morning. The ushers will now please collect this morning's offering.
You know, my mother used to say, long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Want to say a few words, Kathy, about the skits? Come on up. Do you want the handheld mic to do it?
Hello? Okay. Earlier, we heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, and during the past 6 Sundays, our children in grades 1 to 6 have been talking about what this story means to them in their everyday lives. We talked about how the Samaritan in the story helped the wounded Jewish man, even though there was often hostility, as you heard, between Samaritans and Jews. I asked the kids to think about when they might see someone who was hurt or in need of help in their everyday lives, and they all related the parable in that way right away to someone who was being bullied or picked on. So Many of the children have been then expressing their thoughts about this, about bullying situations, in two ways. And the first way I'm going to show you is some artwork. So the first slide shows that being picked on or bullied can just make someone very sad and depressed. Words can hurt as much or more than punches. Ew, purple is so gross. Green is so now. What if someone shut you up in a school locker? Please help me get out of here. Okay, I'll help. This is a little faint, but someone has fallen off the monkey bars after only the second bar, and someone is laughing. If you fall off, will someone laugh at you? Creating comic-style stories can show how to help. In the top scene, a soccer ball hits someone in the head. Bystanders express sympathy and urge the person who kicked the ball to be more careful next time. In the bottom strip, we once again see an unfortunate person trapped in a school locker. I think this happens more often in the movies than in our local schools. I haven't heard about that. A good Samaritan helps the student get out, and they become BFFs, best friends forever. Meanwhile, the bully in the corner looks on in frustration. Chelsea, who was only 6, created a 5-page book on the theme. A girl is sitting on the school bus. Suddenly, there is a close-up confrontation. On the left, move over. On the right, no. The helper, this is a little faint, but the helper is approaching on the left and seeing an argument in the distance. And the helper says, oh no. The helper tells the bully, go to another seat, bully. The bully doesn't like it, but they do. And the Good Samaritan is thanked for their help. So being a helper can really feel great. So now we do have 2 very short skits to show you some scenes that might happen in the school. And the first one, the first scene is on a school bus. You don't have it? You don't need it. All right. Okay. What did I do? I was organized. Can I look at yours for a second? Okay. One place that kids can get picked on or bullied is the school bus. There is only one adult, the bus driver, who is in charge of 30 or more kids. So one morning, this is what happened. Oh, hi, Caitlin. Good morning. Hey, Spencer. How are you? Have a seat. Hey, Brady. Hi, Rachel. Everybody okay now? All right, let's go. Okay.
Passing through the hallways at school can also feel risky. In a middle school the other day, this is what happened.
Hey, look out! I'll help you stick things up. Don't feel bad.
Are you going to lunch? Let's sit together. Okay.
Thanks, you guys. Those were awesome. I just want to invite us to think about a couple of other things. Who knows when this church was built? 1870. Moved in 1888, I think, right? So sometime in there, this window was installed. That's a long time ago, right? 1870 to 2018, who can do the math? That's a long time. And I'm just wondering what the people back in 1870 who built this church were thinking when they included this window that we would look at every week for over 100 years. What were they thinking? That they wanted us to be reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan every time that we come into this sanctuary. Who has an idea of what they were thinking? Jack.
I think they thought it was a very important message because it's one of the biggest windows in the church.
Who else has an idea of what they might have been thinking when they put this window in? Does anybody know? Candy.
That we all are here to help one another.
That's right. We're all here to help one another. Well, when this congregation was founded, they were threatened with being kicked out of the Congregational Church, right? Does anybody know that history? That there was one town church. Every town had a church. And that was, they had to pay taxes to that one church. And after 1831, that wasn't true anymore. And so people were free to leave the town church and start their own church. But initially, the people who were more liberal, people who had Unitarian thoughts and values and beliefs, they wanted to stay in the Congregational Church, and they had more liberal speakers sometimes that reflected their values in addition to the other beliefs and values. So there was lots of people with different ideas all in the same church. But the minister of that church didn't like the liberal values that the people wanted to have shared in that church. And so people with more liberal values were threatened with excommunication at that time. And so they split off. And they started the Unitarian Congregation in Milford. And so one of the things this window represents is, what do we know about the Good Samaritan? He was a Samaritan, right? And what do we know about the guy who got beat up? He was Jewish, right? They didn't get along, right? They were from different traditions, different cultures. And so I think one of the messages in that window is to try to open our hearts and minds to people who are different than we are and to reach across difference to help one another. And it's certainly a very current message that we can carry with us today. Another thing that I know about the people that founded this church was that many of them were abolitionists. And there is another very good example of people trying to help or stand up for people who were, as we heard in the story, the word was actually despised that was used in the story. People who were not accepted
And so this story really has a lot to teach us about how interconnected our lives really are, and that helping is about reaching across difference. And sometimes it can be scary to do that, but that it's very important to try to reach across difference to help one another. And so I hope that you'll look at this window every time you come into the sanctuary and think, gee, how might I reach out? How might I share my love beyond what I know, beyond what I think, beyond my own values, to learn about, to share with, to help someone who might be different than I am? Now, Amy's going to lead us in singing Lean on Me.
And some children are going to help me out with some rhythm. You guys want to play some rhythm with me? Brady's got the drum, and we've got some shakers. Maybe we could give Aloe's mommy and daddy a shaker also. That might be kind of fun for them.
Maybe everybody would like to stand as you're willing and able. We can get into singing this. This is kind of a rhythmy, rocking kind of song.
My version is a little different than the piano version.
World, not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond. I consider those people my heroes. I'm not going to extinguish the chalice because we're moving into a congregational meeting. So I'm going to say, let's leave it lighted as we move into the next part of our sacred life together. But we do have a choral benediction this morning, which is Won't You Be My Neighbor by Fred Rogers.
Beautiful day in this neighborhood. Could you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to. I deserve a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be? Won't you please? Won't you be my neighbor?
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Amy. And I'd invite anyone who needs to quietly slip out as Amy reprises that a little bit for us. And if you can stay for the meeting, please just remain seated, and we'll begin right away and then move into the next room after our initial conversation.